division affiliation has been disavowed. You are now marked as rogue.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Rogue Agent Podcast, brought to you by Media Junkie. I'll be your host, Jamar, and I'm joined by my fellow agent, Wes. And we were flat out obsessed with the Division One, so much so we started the Rogue Agent Podcast. Posted every Monday on all major podcast platforms, we'll discuss the state of the game and share our thoughts on Division Two. So you know why we're here. Let's just get right to it. I want to do something a little bit different this episode and like every episode going forward. And I don't know if you saw in the show notes, but I put something in there called Agent Clock. And the Agent Clock I thought was a good idea, just so if we ever have any other agents on the podcast, we can just kind of touch base and see like how far or how long they've played the game. So you think that's a cool idea?
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
All right. Well, we've both been basically playing the game the entire time together. So I put down, I think we're like around 40 hours. It's like a day and 11 hours or something. No, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, I did the math. Trust me, it's about 40 hours.
Yeah, I think actual game time of running around, I think it's about 38 hours, really close to that.
Yeah, so my estimation was pretty good, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, the estimation was right on, yeah.
All right, I just thought that would be something fun. So if we have any other, again, in quotes, agents on, we can kind of have that good way of like touching base, maybe even adding like the level or something like that in or gear score once we hit in game. But moving along, last time we talked about our level of hype and how excited we were to finally be getting to play the division. And we've been playing since Tuesday. It is now Sunday, which we're recording. And I just wanted to see, like, are you still at a 10? Have you went down? What's up?
I am absolutely a 10. They freaking killed it with this game, and Massive is constantly listening to our feedback and updating it on a daily basis, which is amazing. All developers should really learn from them.
Yeah, I know we were talking, I brought up the point of like games as a service and like all the people who kind of like tripped up and had some issues at launch, and honestly they have like either taken notes or they just knew what the right things were. So like constantly updating the game with like bugs, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But also just being there and seeing like things that people aren't liking and disliking, you know, stuff like that. So it's pretty awesome.
And I think Massive is unlike any other developer out there, because like, for example, so Ubisoft obviously published this game. Let's take like an EA game, for example, like Star Wars Battlefront, right? People got the first game and they're like, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. So they released a second one, and guess what? It still sucks.
It was all the same issues, yeah.
It's all the same issues, but it seems like they, Massive and Ubisoft, are actually listening to what we're saying and implementing it. And the game, as it launched, was incredible. I know we're not going to get into the glitches or anything like that, but there's so much to do. Everything is so varied. The scenic landscape that we have here, as we were talking throughout, we played the game, is refreshing. I'm so tired of playing in New York. Every game set in New York. Having Washington, D.C. as the backdrop is a breath of fresh air, and it feels new, even though it's the same.
Right. That's a really a good way to say it, because it really is, honestly, like some of the same like gameplay like tricks, but they were so good in Division One. But they brought them to Division 2 with the same idea, but they threw in like a ton of variety. And of course, the setting, I think, has a lot to do with that, and really owning the setting too, which is another thing that we're going to kind of go to towards the end. But they did a really good job of like paying attention to everything in Washington and like saying like, hey, the backdrop isn't the city. Like the city is a part of the game and not just a backdrop, if that's the way I want to say it. Another thing I thought like we should probably talk about are like some things that we really are enjoying, because we're definitely loving the game. My excitement level is still at a 10. I wish I was playing right now instead of recording the show, but this is also fun too. The weapons, like obviously we know the gameplay is really, really good, but the weapons are awesome.
Yeah.
I put down in the show notes just straight up the PlayStation 4 fucking best game in the game, or best gun in the game. What do you think?
I love the Police M4, and here's what I'll say about the guns in the game. This is the first game I've played, and God, who knows how long? It could be forever, where I have liked various guns. So what I mean by that is most games I play, whether it be like Call of Duty or it's Apex or something like that, I want a fast shooting gun. I want an assault rifle. I want an SMG. Those are the kind of guns that I roll with because I'm a run and gun kind of guy. This is the first game I ever played where I have enjoyed a variety of different types of guns. Like this game, for example, like, yes, the Police M4 is an incredible gun, and it was smart that we got the blueprint right off the bat because we're able to manufacture a new gun every so often, which I love that. I can have a brand new M4 at the level I'm at whenever I want. But the gun that I'm loving, that I'm using a lot right now, is a single-shot rifle, which is the military MK-17. Like in Division 1, I would have never touched this gun.
Yeah, same.
It just didn't work. Like in Division 1, I was all about the AUG. I was all about the Vector. But in this game, I'm trying guns I would have never tried before because all the guns are balanced so well and everyone feels so different that I'm enjoying them.
Yeah, I think it might have something to do a little bit with like the mods too as well. I guess we should point out that we're both like right around like 28, 29, like haven't fully went into 30 yet because we've been kind of doing everything else, like versus doing all of the main missions. Actually, no, yeah, we're kind of caught up, but not all the way.
Not all the way, because we do every single section as it comes. Like we clear all this entire section and then we move to the next.
Right. So I just wanted to point out like that we're not like in the end game content yet. So we're still like a little bit ahead of that. But from what we have seen, like the mods and even more so recently, the talents on the guns have like really, really made them balanced. So like you said before, like a single shot rifle, I probably wouldn't have used, or even like a burst rifle, just mainly because I wanted to get as much ammo out as possible to get that high DPS. But now, because of the way it's balanced, you get stability on one of those rifles, you can still wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And like it, you get the power and like the stability at the same time. They really did a great job.
So one thing I want to mention about the mods, whenever this game first launched, I voiced my opinion to you, to all of us, all of our friends, that I was disappointed in the mod system, because I kind of like last game that you picked up different mods. Then you picked up different attachments. Attachments was probably the main thing I was mainly disappointed with, because, you know, I wasn't finding any attachments on the ground. You have to get the blueprints, you have to manufacture them. But I grew to love it. The reason being is like we finish all these different side missions and we unlock all these different attachments. And then as long as I manufacture that attachment, I can throw it on all my guns.
Yeah, I would agree with you, because I think I was kind of like teetering on whether I hated it or not. And then the further we got into it, it just allows you to keep using those same attachments, because you would fall in love with the specific attachment and then be like, oh, well, it's on this gun. Well, I want to try it out on this gun. And it was just such a pain to like switch back and forth. And then if you deconstructed that gun, you lose that attachment. And I love the way the system is. I'm hoping that we'll get more and more blueprints, because right now we're kind of like a little dry on blueprints that we use. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming that's going to be better. And I'm glad you brought up some of the systems, because I was curious to get like to dive a little bit, not, you know, too crazy, but about like the project system. I know you love the project system. I feel like that's a good one for you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, the project system's awesome, because we work in every section as we go. Like when this game first launched, you know, obviously we'd go to Downtown East and we'd clear everything in Downtown East. And then we go to Federal Triangle and we clear everything there. And then we go down to East Mall and then move down Southwest. And then we just move kind of with our level and we beat everything. But what the projects do is it gives me something else to do within that area. For example, give food to different control points that we clear out, or, you know, donate this many vests or this many gloves. And I dig that, because then it unlocks blueprints for guns or attachments that I can use later on. Like I mentioned the M4 earlier, we got that pretty early into the game. And then I created that mob, that gun from that blueprint. And the gun was really fast. It was like an 850 RPM. The one I think I even manufactured was 925. And I used it and it would shoot so fast. and the stability was all the way up to the top that it would just shred any enemy that I came in contact with. And then I kept playing. 4 levels later, I was like, oh, this thing is outdated. I need something new. And I was like, wait a minute. Why don't I just manufacture a new one of these? So now what I do is I manufacture a new one every 2 levels, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, I love I was going to skip ahead to the recruitment, but I love the projects just because the idea, like, it's something really simple. Is saying like, hey, I'm going to donate like old vests, or I'm going to donate gloves, or like the food and stuff at the control points after you take over. And again, it just goes into like building every activity that you do, making it a part of the world. So it's not like I'm just giving this random person items, but I'm really building this settlement or helping out these people at the control point, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Another thing, well, we talked about blueprints, the recruitment. So I think we've recruited everyone now in our, like, at the base operations. So this was something I thought was really cool of, like, how before in Division One you would upgrade parts of the base operations. This here, you actually recruit people in to give you those things. So you get the workbench and, like, well, the quartermaster was there from the beginning, but then we just unlocked, like, the barber and things like that. I thought that was like a really good way of, again, building into the world of like, hey, I'm finding these people out here, bringing them back to the base, and now I have extra weapons I can craft, or I have a gun range and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty neat as well.
Yeah. So far, I mean, there's a lot of great things to say. There's way more great things to say about this game than I would say there is negative.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
There are some negatives.
There are some negatives, and I'm glad you mentioned that. We could just discuss some bugs. So we play the game starting Tuesday, and we, of course, obviously just been playing every day, and we're recording on Sunday. So up until I think, where did we hit that really bad that night? Was that Thursday night?
Thursday night or Friday night?
Okay, I'm thinking it's when, like, the general or the standard edition was available, so everyone started jumping in.
So Friday night, yeah.
So, yeah, it would have been Friday. Well, possibly Thursday at midnight. Maybe that's what it was. You know, like, everyone getting on at midnight or something.
Could have been.
Either way, we were experiencing some crashing like crazy.
God, yeah, I think that was Thursday.
Yeah, it was almost unbearable. Well, it was unplayable, really. I mean, we managed to get through the mission just because we love the game, but I mean, the crashing was so awful. And I was out in Reddit and kind of like looking around and seeing like if it was anybody else that was affected. It seemed mostly it was just console players, and I was like ready to pull my hair out and just quit playing the game. And then the next day, we saw that Massive had released like some patch notes to fix some things on the game, but then they also called out the crashing, and it looks like it was tied to being like in a squad and having like the assault or the attack drone causing the crashing. But like, they were aware of it, and they like instantly just started working on it, which I appreciate that. And that goes back to what you said earlier, like Massive is on top of everything. And that's really good to me. I feel like that was important because I was ready to just stop playing the game. It was so bad.
It's incredibly important. It makes you feel like your purchase is validated. Like they're fixing the errors in the game, because we've all have purchased games. I mean, think about old school PlayStation 1 games or even PlayStation 2 games. You buy a game that launches, and that thing is full of bugs and crashes, and there's nothing they could do about it. You're just kind of stuck with it.
That's true. Like, a broken game was just broken. Yeah. And now it constantly gets better, which I appreciate that. I mean, the crashing was probably, like, the biggest issue that we had. We also noticed, like, if we play – I mean, our PlayStations are long, probably abnormally long for most people. But after we were playing for a long time, we would start to get that stutter or that lag. And I don't know if it was server-based – or if it was just our console, but it turns out it must have been like server based, because I did see another patch note that they kind of mentioned that due to the abnormal, like the longer play sessions, you would run into this issue. So that's another thing that they fix.
Yeah, and those are the worst. I mean, when the game starts to lag, I have a huge problem with it. I don't know why, but it annoys me so bad. It's like waiting for a web page to load, and you know that you have the fastest internet available, and when it's not loading within seconds, just those split 5 seconds that it's not loading, you get instantly pissed off. And that's kind of how I felt with the lag. It just instantly makes you mad, and I don't know why.
I mean, we are like an instant society, and the fact that we're playing a game, I think I mentioned this in the first podcast as well, or the first episode, is the fact that we're playing a game dozens of miles away, across the country even, like our, you know, Texas clans, you know, Texas Tech. Was it Tactics? Shout out to them.
Texas Tactics. Shout out to them. We joined the clan like the first day we were on here, and there's some rad dudes in there.
Right, right. But we're just playing on across the country with other people. It's quite astonishing if you think about it. Like, you think 10 years ago, that would have not even been remotely possible. But now that we have that ability, when you get that lag, it's just like an agonize. It's like a eyelash in your eye. Like, you can't do anything about it. You just have to wait it out, but it still drives you insane, you know?
Yeah, and our clan keeps growing. Like, I want to talk about clans.
Yeah, so we skipped that.
First game didn't have clans in it. And so we were playing one day, and I think you went to the doctor's. And it was,
yeah, at a doctor appointment.
Tuesday it came out. Yeah, you went to the doctor's. Jason was working. So I was just playing, and I was just in a safe room, and just because, you know, I'm funny, I think, and there was a guy standing there, and I went up and started tap dancing on him. I was just dancing next to him, like, hey, what's going on? I'm dancing. This game just launched. What's up? And then he sent me an invite, and I was like, you know what? This game's funner to play with people. I'll join them. And then the guys were like, oh, you have a mic? We hardly play with people with mics. So I was like, yeah. And then you got on, and then, you know, I invited you to come play with us. And, you know, we were running through missions, no problem. And then they invited us to this clan they created, Texas Tactic. Shout out again. There's 26 members in it right now, and there's 14 members online right now. And we're now clan level 5.
Holy crap.
We were just clan level 2.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. The clans are awesome because there's different levels that you can go for, and there's an insane amount of XP that you have to get. I mean, clan level 30 is like 96 million XP. That's insane. And I thought level 1 was a lot, with 6 million, and it took us so long to get it. But I took one night off, and we're at level 5 already.
I didn't see that. That must have happened just recently, because I was playing just a little bit yesterday, and I saw we bumped up to 3. And this was like around maybe 2 o'clock last night. So that was actually like this morning. But yeah, 3 levels or 2 levels more. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, we have 2 people in the end game in our clan, which is awesome, because I can see their gear score. They're not ranked anymore.
Oh, that's good. We got to get on it. Well, let's just talk about one more bug, and then I also just want to kind of do a quick shout out to, like,
I have one complaint too.
Okay. Let's talk about this one real quick, because this one's just something really small and just really, really annoying. But before I mention that, I just wanted to shout out, like, r/division on Reddit. There's someone there, I wish I would have wrote down the name, who did, like, the full patch notes. And they basically just have a full patch notes thread. So every time, like, Massive release it, they just kind of put, like, in plain text of all of the bugs and issues and stuff that they're fixing, which is really good. So, like, if you're listening to the podcast and you want to see, like, if the issue you're having is, like, something that's already been reported, first, I would say report it, just because why not? But second, I would check that out just to see if there's an issue. Because all of these bugs that I wrote down just off the top of my head were all things that Massive was already working on, which I just kind of did a little fist bump there. But the one I had that was probably due to us playing the game like a few days early was the apparel. It was one of the most small and annoying things that I ever ran into, but it just bugged the hell out of me. The fact that, like, we would pick up an awesome hat or something, and then you go to equip it and it just disappears. That was probably one of the most annoying things that I would say I ran into, that wasn't game breaking, but it was just like, I don't know, someone touching your arm that you don't have no clue who they are, and you're just like, why did they do that? It's not a big deal, but I just still bothers me to my soul. I don't know. I know you probably ran into that as well, but overall, those are like the main, like, bugs that we ran into. So I just
or the worst is when you spent your own money.
Oh, yeah, that's I forgot about that. We both had our little extra. It was like 400 credits or whatnot, and we bought stuff getting excited, and we couldn't use it for like 3 days, which was that was just annoying. But before we go into some, like, of our favorite moments, I want to hear, like, your last concern on there.
Absolutely. So my biggest problem I have with the game is something that is so silly. So obviously we always play on the online with this game together. We always do. Every single night we're playing together. There's nothing more frustrating than when we're playing the game together and we're beating things and it doesn't save on our own. So when you load up your game and everything's red and you're like, wait a minute, I beat all this stuff last night. What's going on with this? The game should save what you beat. The first game did it, so why is the second one not doing it?
That's very true. Like, I thought about it, like, afterwards, and I thought, well, maybe it's just something weird, like, they didn't turn green yet or something. And then yesterday, I was messing around with remote play, and it worked, like, really well. I was so surprised. But I looked at my map, and I'm like, man, everything is red. Now, the weird thing is there was a few things that were green. So I know, like, we were talking about this earlier off of the show, and I think they must have fixed it at some point, because some parts that I have are green and then the rest of the stuff is red. And I'm referring to, like, the activities, so mainly, like, the control points and stuff. But I guess this was slightly cool that it didn't work. So going back and doing it, which, I mean, obviously I love the game, so it was fun, but I still receive, like, the XP and stuff as if I didn't do it. Now, the blueprints, I couldn't unlock another blueprint or something like that, but I still earned the XP, which was good for, like, farming purposes, but other than that, it was just quite annoying.
Yeah, that's my biggest gripe, because, you know, if I were to be playing in, like, let's say one of the Texas Tactics guys games, like, I would want that stuff to be saved, though, mine. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
It's a shared world for a reason, you know? Shared. Yeah. So, like, shared experience, shared saves, right?
Yeah, and, like, if you're playing by your... Let's say, you know, we play together and we get off, and then you're like, tomorrow, you're like, oh, you know, I kind of want to play the next mission and see what it's like, and you can't do it. That's frustrating.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true. Well, I feel like we beat the game up pretty poor or pretty bad, right? Not really. I mean, most of the issues that we have are all being fixed, which is amazing.
Yeah, they're being fixed, and they're minor gripes. It's nothing crazy.
So, like, I just didn't want to end the episode, though, with, like, a bad taste in anyone's mouth. By all means, this game is amazing. So I wanted to just kind of, like, briefly go over some of, like, our favorite moments. I wrote down a few. I know kind of, like, the three that maybe your list is probably the exact same, just because we were doing these at the same time. But, without, like, any spoilers, because I don't even know if this is a spoiler or if this is just something random or if there's more in the map, but that random agent, like, the rogue agent.
So yeah, hold on. Just throw out the spoiler warning. Like, if you haven't gotten far into the game, don't listen to this, because I'm going to spoil the fuck out of something.
So you were given a fair warning, right?
Yep, fair warning's out there.
So, was it just a question mark just popped up on the map, right?
Yeah, so like we said earlier in the game, we work on one section at a time, beat everything in it, and then move to the next, right?
Right. So we cleared out a section, left, went and did another section. We went back to the base, and we realized that there was a question mark that popped up on there. And the section that we'd already completed was that wasn't East Hall, was it?
No, it's Federal Mall. Triangle.
Federal Triangle. So it popped up, and we're like, what is this? I'm thinking, like, oh, it's one of, like, the propaganda things or something like that. So we go to it, and we walk into a building. And over transmission, it's like an agent is missing, and we got to go find him, and we're going through. And I don't know. Do you want to finish the story, or you want me to keep going?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, go
yeah.
ahead, go ahead.
You know, you're there to find this missing agent. You're like, oh, it's just like a basic story mission. No problem there. It's even a side mission at that. And you're working through, and obviously it's same from beginning to end. And you get to the room, and you're like, oh, here's the agent. Cool. And the lights turn on, and he's hanging there from the ceiling dead. And I'm like, what? What is going on here? And then all the lights cut out. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this incredibly strong agent pops up in front of us. And it was so unexpected and so surprising. And we haven't seen anything else like that yet. Like,
not a single time.
Mark hasn't popped up. And he hasn't popped up again. And it was the most shocking moment of the game so far. And I thought it was awesome.
Yes, it was definitely awesome. I just love that it had, I mean, I don't even know, like, it had, like, sort of like an eerie horror vibe to it.
Yeah.
Which, this is not that game. I mean, it can be, but it just came out of left field. It was like a Resident Evil moment for a second of like, wait, what's happening? Why is this guy hanging here?
Great comparison. Yeah.
It was intense too. And then we were taking him down. We're getting shots, everything. He obviously fucked us up for a little bit, but then as we're shooting, we're thinking like, all right, cool. We got him on the ropes. We're about to take him down. Shit just like our screen just goes all, you know, pixelated and digital size or whatnot. And he takes off. So like, it's not done. Like there's gotta be more.
And it hasn't popped up again. And I want it to pop up again. I want to know more about it.
Yeah. So I just, it's awesome that it could have been just something random that we did that triggered this mission. I'm sure like, I don't know, 6 months from now, we'll find out that it was just like, you know, a glitch or something. No, but,
I should look it up online, but I don't want to ruin it any further. I don't want to know what next was popping up, but I want to know more about it.
Yes. Yes. This is the same thing. I was kind of curious to look in the Reddit and see if it happened, but I don't want to know just because I don't want to ruin that feeling again.
Like, yeah, I don't want to know who it is. I don't want to know what the next one is. I don't want to know any of that. I just want to know if people played the first one.
So that was definitely an amazing moment. That was like a jaw-dropping and like confusing moment. And then we started doing some more of the missions. And I'm sure you're in agreement with this, but the Air and Space Museum was amazing. It was really, really amazing. And it just goes back to like making the world like so like realize like it's so authentic. Like you go into the Aerospace Museum and obviously you're just in the museum, you see the stuff on the walls and everything. And it wasn't until you got to the planetarium and holy crap, like everything changed. And it was the attention to detail that was so good. You walk in, the screen's like ripped open, but you still have like the galaxy and the stuff like all swirling around you. You're fighting enemies. And then I start like noticing, I mean, we're like all hyped, like, oh my God, this looks so amazing. But then you start noticing that the guns sound different because it's like in a soundproof stage. Like everything, the footprints sound different. When you throw grenades, it sound different. Like it's insane the level of detail in that area. And then you go further and then you're at like the Mars landing and you're in Mars, like the Mars exhibit. It's just so good. Like so good. I'm so happy they're in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. We're both big fans of space. I think you're obviously a bigger fan of space. You love Cosmos and all that good stuff. And that mission was freaking awesome. That's easily number two for me. And mentioning out the sound, bravo to you, Massive, because that's the little things that you put in this game that really excelled it into being something special. It's just so awesome. That mission was a lot of fun. And then you walk out of the room and there's an explosion and the space shuttle falls down right yes. in front of you. It's constantly keeping you on the edge of your seat as you go. It's like a faithful reconstruction of all this too.
Yeah, that's the thing is that they really seem to like, all right, I'm making this shot for shot. I want it to be really, really authentic. And that makes the game more like immersive because it is so authentic. It could have just been just random rooms in there that had nothing to do with like the actual like museum itself. And actually, I just want to say shout out to like them, like getting like the license. I know like names and stuff aren't exactly the same, but allowing us to get that detail, that's really awesome to share that.
Yeah. Again, hats off to them. You can tell they care about this game. You can tell they care about the community. I've been on Twitter a lot recently looking up, you know, Division stuff, and there's a lot of employees that work for Massive. They're tweeting out like that they created something special because the community is involved. They're listening to the community and they're making the upgrades. And I really wish someone from Massive hears this podcast because it is just a labor of love for them.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is. Quickly, another one I wrote down was the Natural History Museum. The Vietnam, was it Vietnam? Yeah, it was the Vietnam exhibit. Vietnam. That was really cool too. Like going through and it, like everything again, it's just the attention to detail was so awesome.
My third one was where you're in kind of like the fake NASA building. And you get to the end in the big open area. And then again, another one with the lights shut off. Boop, and it's completely pitch black. Then there's a massive explosion kind of above you. And the room starts flashing red. And this big elite comes out. And he's staying up top walking around the room. And you have to shoot him up. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a really awesome boss fight. I forgot completely about that one. I keep feeling like that was the Air and Space. But that was like the
That's the next
one. Yeah, like the generic NASA, the NOAA or NAO or something like that.
It was Space Administration Headquarters is the mission.
That's it. Yeah, that one, that was pretty awesome. Like, the fact that the room just turned, like, a different color. And again, it's something that we didn't really mention, but the game is gorgeous. It uses colors in such a good way. Like, it really, really, really is gorgeous. It has a great palette of, like...
Oh, that reminds me, yeah.
Like, of the darks to light, and then the color. Like, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing.
And hands down, the best storm effects I've ever seen in a
video. Oh, my God. So, before this... I would say it's close, but it was a game that you didn't really stick with because you didn't like it. But Red Dead had a really good the storm, like you could just faintly hear like a thunder, you know, thunder in the background, and then it would just slowly roll over, and the next thing you know, you're just like in this massive rainstorm. But what The Division does really well is it does the same thing. The lightning effects are like. It just gives you a little bit of flash. Then you see the thunder, and then it just pours down raining. And then the way they do the lighting, the light's still shining through like the rain. So like the light from like cars and buildings, it shines through. It's just mind blowing. It really is. Mind-blowing.
Oh, the game is gorgeous. You're right. The moon, the light from the moon, like the moonlighting, is incredible at night. Like lighting in this, and the shadows in this. Man, they've really knocked it out of the park.
They killed it. They definitely did.
Very impressed. And I was hyped for the game at an 11 out of 10. And it's even blowing that away. Like, I don't think we mentioned this, and this is like the last thing I'll mention. The game keeps getting better. So like when we started off, like, you know, it was good. And now that we keep getting higher levels, it keeps getting better.
Right. We haven't even scratched the surface on the end game content. And we've barely messed around with the Dark Zone. So it's just like this, we have so much more to go into it.
Yeah, in a game or in a time and in an era where most game companies are releasing games with stuff taken out of them on purpose just to sell it as $10 DLC, having a company release this big of a game is astounding. It's unheard of.
And all the year one DLC is all free. So if you paid for like the bonus, like the gold edition, you get everything early. So we continue with that path of like getting into the in game stuff early and the more content early, but they kept it free. So even if you bought the regular edition or the collector's edition, gold edition, whatnot, we all get that content. And that's going to make it great because people won't be like blocked off because they don't have the extra money. They can continue to play the game and it keeps the community bigger, which is really awesome.
Yeah, that's. Oh, I love it. I'm ready to play now.
Yeah, I am too. So, I just wanted to give kind of like a heads up for next week. We'll probably be back, diving a little bit more into like the in game content because we're probably going to hit like level 30 any moment now. So, we'll probably be into that. And then we'll actually go into like the Dark Zone, kind of go over some things, discuss that. But if there's any other things that we want to add into the show, I guess if you guys are out there listening, just go ahead and like tweet at us. I'll give you all the information here in this lovely outro. So first, you can find us out on YouTube. It's just youtube.com/MediaJunkies. So if you like anything, don't be afraid to just subscribe and maybe like some of our videos. We'll also be live streaming on there. And then speaking of live streaming, we do some streaming as well on Twitch, which of course you know the URL. It's twitch.tv/MediaJunkieVids. And that's Vids with an S. Also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, that would be the exact same handle. That's Media Junkie Vids. We post some cool stuff there. I'm going to be posting like some photos because I love the photo mode. So if you want to check that out, go ahead, follow us or tweet back at us. And then lastly, just go ahead and like rate this podcast, share it with other people. If you have friends that want to, you know, are interested in Division and maybe this isn't your thing, just move it along. If you rate us, hopefully give us like 5 stars. If we suck, give us 1 star, maybe. I don't know how the ratings work. I think it works either way. So as long as we have ratings, it bumps us up so we can get out there and touch a few more people. Well, Wes can't, but I can.
Hell yeah. Shout out to Josh Murphy. Hopefully you heard listen to this episode. I want to give shout outs to people that listen. So if you're listening, tweet at us on Twitter at Media Junkie Vids, and we'll give some shout outs.
Shout outs. Well, I don't have anything else. I just want to play the game. So I think right now is just a good time to end.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to end this episode like in every episode. It's corny and cheesy, but it's a cool hashtag. And I'll do it now. Let's go rogue. Bye.
Later.
All right. Later, man.